Shabbat Basra, Paragud, Mishnah Vav. Mishnim Chak Shtar Chovo. If a lender had his Shtar Chov, you know, the IOU, and the contract became ruined, physically ruined, meaning that there are witnesses who saw, I don't know, water drift on it, the ink was fading, it became, whatever, it became that it would be no longer, you know, it was degrading over time, or had become degraded, so that no longer, you know, if someone would look at it without knowing what's going on, the contract was too blurry or wiped out or whatever, that you could, would no longer be enforceable. So what do you do? May Eden love Adam. You bring witnesses who know exactly, number one, what the contract is supposed to say, and number two, that this was that contract, just that it's now been damaged, or we're getting damaged. Uvolifnei Beis Din, and then the team, meaning the lender as well as his witnesses, come before Beis Din, v'os lo kiyum, and they make like an addendum to this original loan document, which is a kiyum, which is like a validation to supplement the original document to say what the document should say, and make it, you know, this new document enforceable. It would say something like, Ish Ploni Ben Ploni, so-and-so, Mr. So-and-so, who had the contract, Nimchak Shtaro, he had the contract, but the contract got wiped out, you know, erased or whatever, water damaged, Beyond Ploni on such and such a date, O Ploni, O Ploni, Adav, and these are the people who testify that we know what the contract said, and this is the contract. So no, it's a simple din of what you do if you have a contract that's worn out. You're allowed to do a kiyum. It's a machlokas rishonim, exactly who does the writing up of the kiyum. Some learned even the Adam could, some learned Dr. the Beis Din. Either way, that's that. Now, in the second part of the mission is a new din here, a little more involved. Mishapar miktsas chovo. What happens if, you know, I make a partial, I'm a borrower, and I make a partial payment to the lender. It was a $100 loan, I paid back 40, there's 60 still outstanding. So now, we need to have some documentation that reflects that a part of the loan has been paid and a part remains outstanding. Now the truth is, we could, in theory, just write on that very document, you know, the very place where it says 100 is owed, we could say, you know, 40 has been paid on such and such a date, and that would be a simple solution to this problem. However, for whatever reason, we're looking for a non-simple solution to the problem, where we don't want to fiddle with the original loan contract. It could be that would maybe, if it was, you know, if you're writing between the lines, whatever, of the original loan contract, it might make it look a little fishy, and then maybe, arguably, the lender would be able to collect on it or something. In any case, so the question is, what's the way to do it? We have two basic approaches. One approach would be to essentially tear up the old contract for 100 and write up a new one for the remaining 60. The other possibility would be to let the 100 contract stand, but give a receipt to the borrower that he paid 40 so far. Now, each one has it. Here's the issue. The issue is, if you're going to rewrite the contract from scratch, so then the question is, what date do you put on the new contract? In other words, the old contract said 100. Now 40 isn't paid. You're going to write a new contract that says, you know, there's 60 outstanding. So now you have two possibilities. You either could date it today's date, or you could date it the date of the original shtar. The problem with dating it today's date is that that would then only collateralize the loan by possessions that the lender, that the borrower has as of today, today's date. And if he, in the meantime, you know, let's say for argument's sake, he owned the house when the loan was taken, but now at today's date he doesn't own the house, so then that house would no longer be encumbered, which is not fair. So you're messing up the collateral of the lender. That's no good. On the other hand, if you there's a separate isser on signing a predated contract. So if we would write this new contract for 60, but we'd say, oh, and date it the earlier date, so then under normal circumstances, there's an isser on signing predated contracts. That's not fair, because that would, under normal circumstances, leave this case out. If we'd have an IOU, and we would date it from last year, so then, and I borrow the money from you, you'd be able to collect from anyone who bought from my house last, in the past 12 months, which is not fair, because that guy lose the house he bought for no good reason. So what's the right thing to do? So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yachlif. Rabbi Yehuda says the way to go is to tear up the old contract, write a new contract, and just predate this contract to the old date. You say, well, you can't sign predated contracts, but come on, this isn't a predated contract. This is that old contract from before. Don't look at it as a predated contract. This is an exception to that rule, if you will. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you can't predate contracts, no exceptions. Once you make exceptions, all kinds of mischief will happen. So therefore, Yichtav Shover, just write the borrower a receipt saying he's paid 40. Now the problem that, of course, is that the borrower has to make sure that receipt stays safe, because he'll have to defend himself in court if the lender wants to claim the full amount again. And nimtza zetzarach liel shomer shovaro, that'll mean that the borrower will have to guard his little receipt min akbarim, from the rats, from getting to it. So that, and if you lose it, he'll be in big trouble. So we normally want to protect the borrower, the underdog, the poor guy, and this is putting him in like a tricky position. A lender, maybe, I don't know, he's got his lawyers and his banks and his filing cabinets, so he's more liable to be able to keep his loan documents. The lender, we're afraid he might get into big trouble, have to pay twice. So that's why Rabbi Yossi says, no, you'll have to write that's why Rabbi Yehuda says,
tear it up
and write a new one. Exactly. Now, Amar Rabbi Yossi says, listen, kach yafalo, like it serves him right, lo yura kocho shel zeh. We don't want to mess up, since we cannot predate any contracts, so we have no choice in the matter, and we want to protect everybody. So listen, that's how it'll have to be. We're not gonna predate contracts and mess up other people. So therefore, we don't want to jeopardize the ability of the lender to collect. And therefore, so it's since you can't predate, literally means like and that's good for him, like, you know,
for the lender.
You know, why should we mess up the lender? He's the one who made the loan. Why should we now? We can't predate the contract, so why should we impair his ability to collect by dating a new date today? So therefore, we don't want him to be impaired, and therefore, a receipt is the way to go. Again, the real machlokas isn't really about what's better, a receipt or a redone contract. The real machlokas is, can you predate, you know, the second revised contract? And Rabbi Huda says you could, and Rabbi Yossi says you can't. If Rabbi Yossi is stuck with saying in that case, just give him a receipt and tell him to guard his receipt properly.